Scenes from a War Zone. Written by Zombified Queer and read by Wilfriede0815. Fandom, The Locked Tomb. Relationships, Peradve and Camilla Hecht and Nona and Palamidas Sextus. Peradve and Corona Beth Tridentarius. Rating, teen and up audiences. No archive warnings apply. Summary. Peradve is 10,000 years old, living in her best friend's body and living in the worst of all worlds. And she's full of so much love to give. There's a certain way someone breathes when they're asleep. Just by looking at Nona, Peradve knows the kiddo is not asleep in the slightest. She's curled up in a position that makes Pera's back ache in sympathy. Her breathing isn't deep enough, and the kiddo keeps opening an eye, checking to see if Pera sees. Grinning to herself, Peradve knows she's weak for kids who pretend to be asleep to get carried to bed. Closing the cupboard softly, like she's afraid to wake Nona, Pera mutters, "All right, kitty, time for bed." Nona, to her credit, does a good enough impression of someone sleeping. But she's smiling, and that's her giveaway. That grin that outshines the blue outside their apartment. Hands on her hips, Pera sighs. "Oh no, dead asleep, huh? Then I guess I'll have to carry you." Turning over lets Nona hide the fact that she's almost laughing. And it's easier for Pera to scoop her up, cradling Nona's head in the crook of one arm. Nona goes limp in Pera's arms, still smirking like she's won a game. Which, in her defense, she has. Carrying Nona into the bedroom, Pera lays her out on the bed. She tucks her in, the thin sheet drawn up to Nona's chest. Not too high, not enough to upset her. Resting a hand on Nona's head, Pera sighs. "Good night, Pigno. Sleep tight. Don't let those dogs bite." She leans down and kisses Nona's forehead. Then Nona actually goes to sleep. Crone makes herself at home at their table, arm thrown over the back of the chair. But she's pretending to be brave. "All I've got is cold coffee," Pera offers, knowing not to baby crown him with many crowns. "Is it good coffee?" Pera laughs. She pours Crone a cup anyway. Before she serves it, Pera gives the last of the milk, nasty, powdered stuff mixed in water, a sniff, and deciding it's not bad yet, adds it to the cup. Then she serves it. Crone cradles the cup. "Milk? Need your calcium," Pera counters. But Pera knows. Crone's early 20s, trying to sound more mature, wise, everything. Pera knows Crone was Third House royalty. And Pera knows she was like Crone too, once, scared as hell with her badge still shiny and new. It's going to be hell on Crone. This is a real war, the end of everything Crone's ever known. Pera takes a seat at Crone's side, not across from her, that'll scare her more. Just close enough to talk softly and, if Crone prefers, just exist in the same space. "Nona's at school?" "Yep, she loves it." "Learning a lot?" "Not so much. She likes feeling useful, though, and it keeps her calm." "Good." Crone nods. "That's good." Crone sips her coffee and makes a face. Pera chuckles. "Bad coffee, I take it?" "It's better than those dehydration tablets," Crone defends. "A lot better. You'll get used to it." And Pera doesn't mean the coffee at all. It costs 20 of the cigarettes Pera rolled herself and one of her two bottles of moonshine, but Pera holds her head up high. The cassettes are tucked safe in her dust jacket's inner pocket. Everyone wants them, it seems. Any piece of technology to leave a record or broadcast costs almost as much as meat. A mean trade, but Pera understands. Still, cigarettes and alcohol always have a value, even at the end of the world. Taking the stairs at a light jog, she makes her way to their flat. Before stepping inside, she knocks. It puts them all at ease. There's the click of locks and grind of the chain being forced open. Pera winces. It'll need oiling. Or she'll have to take it off the door. "You're home late." "Camilla, then." Pera slips into their flat and kicks the door closed before shrugging off her jacket. had to make a quick stop. Kiddo? Taking a bath. Good. Reaching into the inner pocket, Pera produces the little box of tapes. Here. I know you're running low. Camilla Hecht freezes. How much did these cost? Don't worry about it, Pera soothes. Use my own vices. Camilla looks at the box like it might bite her. Pera gives it a little shake, encouraging her to take it. You should be saving those for buying meat. But Camilla takes the box, tearing the tape with her nail and opening it. Thank you, though. Meat's on the list, I promise, Pera defends. In the dark of their bedroom, someone rests their head on Pera's chest. She only half wakes. By now, she's used to the way Nona threshes enough that Pera prefers to sleep alone on the couch. But tonight's an exception. She reaches over, giving the shoulder of the someone cuddling her a squeeze. There's a grunt, and Pera knows it's Palamides. Go back to sleep, pal, Pera mumbles. You'll wake the kitty. Was wondering if the ex was still good. His voice is thick with sleep, meaning he woke up, rolled over, and cuddled up to Pera just to ask. She tries not to laugh, but can feel herself grinning. For another day or two. Good. Palamides makes himself right at home on top of Pera's ribs. I'll handle breakfast. Like hell you will, Pera tells him. Cam's obsessed with recording everything. Can you blame her? No, Pera can't. She wishes she had all the time in the world to tell them all about what the world was like before the resurrection. At least, the pieces she can remember. They need to keep an eye on Nona and her progress. No need to eat up tapes listening to an old, sad woman. Pera? Last time, you mentioned dingoes. Tell me about them again. Here I thought Master Warden never forgets. Maybe I want to hear you talk. You'll wake the kiddo. Please? Palamides asks. For me? With a sigh, Pera makes herself comfortable and recounts until they both fall asleep. The end. This was recorded for KBurb for Purim Gifts 2026. I hope you enjoy.